don't want to not be on. And it's a long chunk of scripture today, 22 through 58. So when I was going through it, and there's so much stuff in it, and I had a rough time trying to narrow it down. And I thought this was the simple story of Jesus walking on water to him in his long discourse about being the bread of life. But I want you to ponder this question, and I talked about it earlier in the service, about do you know the bread of life? Not like Facebook friends that you just kind of like every once in a while and they say something, but like real, intimate, sit down every day, have coffee with, or if you don't drink coffee, Ted, have whatever you drink, water. But sit at the table, face to face, do you know the bread of life? This section of scripture starts out the seven I am's. I know some of you have gone through the Bible study on Wednesday nights, going through the seven I am's, and this is the first of the two. And we are introduced to I am back in Exodus. Remember when Moses was up on the hillside and he was talking to this bush that was burning, but not burning up. And Moses says in Exodus 3:13, he says, when I go to the people and ask, and when I go to the people and they ask, who has sent me? What shall I say? And what does God say? Yes. Tell them, I am, has sent you. So Jesus takes this tetragrammaton, which is a big word for just saying four letters, Yahweh, the verb to be in Hebrew, the name of God who is the I am. Jesus now takes this and adds to it. He says, I am the bread of life. And that's where we're going into. He goes, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And I am the resurrection and the life. All of these I am's are the part of Jesus to make clear that He and God are one. And there is no separation from those two. Jesus is saying, I and I alone are the means of eternal life and life in you. And this is a very long passage, but I wanted to divide it up into two little sections here. It's full of repetition, and I think that's what a lot of it, because we got to remember who Jesus is talking to now. He's just left the hillside. He's had that nice little casual cruise across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, and he's now sitting in a synagogue, and he's talking again to a bunch of religious elite, the Jewish leaders. And he's talking to them. We know he's in the synagogue from chapter 6, verse 59. So I want to read this section, and as we're going through this, I want you to think of two things. Number one, it's the divine provision of the bread. And number two, it's our acceptance. We are humans. It's the human acceptance of this bread. I know it's a long chunk of verses, but let's go ahead and stand as we read it, 22 through 59. It said, on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the crowd saw that Jesus was not there. After they'd eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, asking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do? What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that has been given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread of life, come down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that the one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That would be weird. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also lives because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture. We ask that you be with us time as we look into it a little more, Lord. Let the words that I want to say take a backseat, Lord, to what you want to come up to the front today. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we have the divine provision of bread. When I read scripture sometimes, I like to put myself kind of in the shoes of someone who doesn't know God, who doesn't understand God. And to someone who doesn't understand who Jesus is, this scripture would be a little terrifying. Don't you think? I wonder as I was reading it if this is not where these people who write about vampires, you know, started getting their themes of vampire, you know, drink my blood, you know, and you'll have eternal life. Anyways, that was just a side note. Sorry. So, to say he is the bread of life, you know, is the reference for food. In that time, bread was a staple in each household. Bread was one of the main components of all their food. So he was using something that was known to them. And he's saying, I am your sustenance. I am your food that you need. And he says, it's also a reference when he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Breadlin was simply a word that encompassed all the nutritious food. I think I said that right. Nutritious food. And Jesus saying, look, I am your food. I am what you need for that. So, first of all, let's look at the divine provision of the bread. This is God's side. This is the divine. This is what comes from heaven to us. Over and over again, Jesus speaks of his preexistent. John began his gospel this way. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. the word, of course, meaning Christ and Christ alone. Therefore, Christ was there. He was pre-existent with God. So as we read through this, you look for the phrase, came down from heaven, and you'll find it. For example, in verse 32, at the very beginning of the passage, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." Verse 33, again, it says, "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven." Verse 38, "I have come down from heaven." And now he switches from the metaphor, the bread has come down, and applies it to himself. And he says, "I have come down." Verse 50, "This is the bread which comes down out of heaven." Verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven." 58, "This is the bread which came down." You see, he's trying to get them to understand something here. There's a lot of repetition here, repeated again and again. And it's a statement affirming that he was a pre-existent person. And again, put yourself in the shoes of those he's talking to. He's in a synagogue in Capernaum talking to the religious elite. And he's telling them, "I have come down from heaven." If you go back to John 3, there's a helpful statement that Jesus makes when he's talking with Nicodemus. He says, "No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven." And who is that? Jesus, the Son of Man. I think about that every time I see one of those cute little books about going to heaven and coming back. The scripture pretty much, from Jesus' words, says that doesn't happen. That's scriptural. Now, someone may have had a nice out-of-body experience. I don't know what death is like. But they didn't go to heaven. You can be assured of that through that scripture. Now, if you know scripture, in 2 Corinthians, there's a story of this man named Paul, who we know well. And he went up to third heaven. Right. I didn't know their stages, but I just want to be with Jesus. But it's interesting because he says he was caught up into the third heaven. He came back, but he didn't tell us anything. What did he say? He said, "I can't even speak of the things that were there." He certainly did not deliver a message from heaven. This scripture, or this exception, proves the point. More so, it proves the rule. Nobody goes into heaven and comes back to instruct us, except he who descended. The first thing you understand about the divine provision of the bread is that the bread was pre-existent. It was always there. Jesus has always been there. The bread was eternal. Jesus is not a created being. He is pre-existent. His existence is eternal. He always existed. So there's that divine pre-existence in the coming of the bread. And then second, there is purpose for what he did. There is purpose. It's tied to his existence. And Jesus Christ is the reality. He came because the Father purposed him to come. He's that bread. It's not casual. This has been a plan. This is God's provision for us. It's divine purpose. And again, this is repeated. Jesus repeats this again and again and again throughout this scripture. Verse 32, at the end of the verse, says, "It is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." Verse 33, "The bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven." It is there called the bread of God. It is God who sends the bread. The bread is God's to start with, to give. Verse 38, "I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Verse 39, "This is the will of him who sent me." 40, "This is the will of my Father." Verse 57, "As the living Father sent me." So you have this divine preexistence, Jesus has always been. Then you have this divine purpose of what Jesus has come here to do. The Father sending the Son. And verse 45, is an important verse, and it can be overlooked from time to time. And it's a quote from Isaiah 54:13. It is written in the prophets that they shall be taught of God. The only way that someone can come to God, or the only way that someone can come to the truth of who God is if God is the teacher. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. People will not come to Jesus because of powerful human reason. Now, I'm a person that loves apologetics. And you can bicker back and forth with someone all day long. But unless their heart is turned to the things of God, all the truth doesn't matter. Unless they start to hear, the preacher is not the means. You are not the means. We are only tools to present this truth. It is up to them to accept it or not to accept it. God is the instructor of the heart and the mind. So we have this bread, this pre-existent bread. We have the bread that is provided for those who are willing to hear. Willing to hear from God. And then thirdly, we're looking at God's provision, divine purpose, and then the promise. Why do we want this bread? What does the bread do for us? What does Christ do for us? Why is that important? Verse 33, the bread of God is that which comes down of heaven and gives you what? Life. And I talked about it in the beginning here. The word that he is using there is Zoe. And I think I put it up there. Yeah. Spiritual life. Throughout other parts of Scripture, when they're talking about life, they use the word bio or bios, which is biological life. It's the life we live and breathe. But a spiritual life is what he's talking about here. He's saying, I have come and I want you to give you this bread of spiritual life. Not biological life. I don't want to make your biological life better. I want to make your spiritual life eternal. Do you see that? I thought that was pretty cool. The use of words sometimes, if we can break them down and understand them, is pretty neat stuff. That's why he came. And he is the only bread of life. And verse 32, 33 talks about the bread that comes down, the bread that gives life. And then we don't go very far until we hit verse 35. And again, he says, I am the bread of life. Verse 40, again, we see this is the will of the Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have. He's expanded, become more expressive now, eternal life. Now we're talking about eternal life. Verse 47, he who believes has eternal life. Verse 50, this is the bread that comes down out of heaven so that you may eat of it and not die. I know, yay, not die. And he's not talking about bio life. He's talking about zoe, spiritual life. How do we get eternal life into these mortal bodies? Because we come into union with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. We don't follow the teaching of just the noble religious leader. We follow the teachings of a pre-existing God who came down with a purpose and a promise to us that if we accept this bread of life, we will have eternal life. And I think that's pretty cool. It's heavenly bread. Well, all of that was just the divine purpose of God. So what's our responsibility? What's the human side to this? What's the human acceptance of this bread? And our responsibility is laid out in a series. It's a series of commands and invitations. Come to me. And when you get there, experience it. Gaze at it. scrutinize it, look carefully, thoughtfully, see who I am. A lot of people who were listening at the synagogue that day were listening. They were seeing who Jesus was. They had come to him. They had attached to him. They were following him. They were watching him. They were listening, and you can bet they were scrutinizing every word he says. So you come, you look carefully at Jesus, but there's another word that's really the critical word. Verse 35. Anybody catch it? He who comes to me will not hunger. And here's the word. He who believes in me. He who believes in me. Verse 40. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Verse 47. I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to come. You have to see. You have to behold. You have to be exposed to the truth. But you must believe. Going back to the metaphor of the bread, go to verse 50. And from verse 50 on is really the closing invitation of this sermon. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat. And now we're back into that metaphor. Believing is eating. Taking in. Receiving. That's why we eat biofood, so that we can keep healthy. We need to take in that spiritual food. Verse 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Verse 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. Verse 58. At the end of the verse, he who eats this bread will what? Live forever. This is powerful. This is a metaphor that everybody understands. You have to take me in. It's not enough just to come and listen. You must ingest. That's our responsibility. You have to eat. You have to receive. And this was shocking news. You think about the Jews that he was talking to. You got all through Old Testament where it says you're not to eat. What does it say? Leviticus 17, Deuteronomy 12, Deuteronomy 15 forbids Jews from drinking blood. So if nothing else, this was highly insensitive to his crowd. You think about, but he's really not talking about drinking blood. And this, of course, is a chapter that is quite mutilated by some religious organizations out there. And they've used this to develop these services where Christ is re-sacrificed again and again and again. And that's not the case. You eat his flesh and you drink his blood. It's called transubstantiation. And that's exactly what he's not talking about. Blood is simply a term for his death. And that's throughout the New Testament. So what's he saying? You must accept the person that I am. You must accept the person that I am and the death that I died. You can believe in Jesus as the pre-existent Son of God who came into the world and the source of eternal life. But unless you believe in his sacrificial death, you're not getting the whole picture. As bread he nourishes, as blood he cleanses. Blood then speaks of death. And these Jews had a big problem with this issue. Their idea of their Messiah again. He said he would not die as a sacrifice. That was a huge problem for them. And they were utterly unwilling to accept that fact. And even the disciples struggled with that fact. That Jesus was sent here to die. I mean, when Jesus said, I'm going to die, who talked to him?
Peter. He goes, no,
no. And what was Jesus' words to him? Get behind me, Satan, for you do not know the will of the Father. So I ask you, do you know the bread of life? Not just hearing, not just seeing, but ingesting. We don't worship a noble human teacher. We worship God in human flesh. But we don't worship Him just for the nobility of His divine teaching. We also worship Him as our sacrifice for our sins, who died in our place. And that is a thought that should be a resounding gong in our head. Why do we worship God? Eating is necessary. If you want eternal life, eating is necessary. You can't just come and admire. People do that all the time in churches. They come and admire. Oh, I have a lot of respect for Jesus. You can't just come and admire. You have to eat, which is to believe fully. And that believing takes you to a next level. Eating is in response to hunger. So the people who eat are the people who are what? Hungry. In a little while, we're going to go have lunch because we're hungry. We should hunger for the Word of God. We should hunger for that bread of life. It should be a part of our life. What is hunger? It's the aching of the heart of one who knows he's empty. We should know we are nothing without Christ in us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to make the heart hungry. That's where the Father starts to draw. The hungry heart sees the bread. And by the way, eating is personal. It's not a group event. You can go out to dinner with some friends, but in the end, it's your fork that must go to your mouth. You can come to church and worship together, which is phenomenal. But in the end, it's personal. You must take it in yourself, and it must become a part of your daily life. I don't know what kind of bread is in your house, but I hope you have all partaken of the bread of life. And I want to end with that statement again. Do you know the bread of life? Not just see, not just hear, but eternally and wholeheartedly know who the bread of life is. Would you pray with me?